welcome to the Truth
Hello,
and Love
and
Podcast.
Welcome to
with
the
Pastor
Truth
Nate
and Love
Jen
Podcast
Morris.
With Pastor
we
Nate
are so glad that you
and
can tune
Jen
in
Morris.
And join us today.
We are super glad that you could join us today.
Excited to kind of get in a little bit more regular habit of posting these. We had to kind of scale back a little bit because of my accident, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show today. But want to welcome you to the program, and we're going to have a kind of a current events episode today. So we'll get to that in just a second. But before we do, I just wanted to remind you to go ahead and click that like button or subscribe button so that these show up in your podcast feed. And if this podcast is a blessing to you, would you share it with your friends and your family members and just spread the word. So we'd really love that. And we'd also love to hear from you. So if you have thoughts or questions or just encouragement that you'd like to share with us, you can email me at nate@mountainlife.church and would love to hear from you about the podcast. So how are you doing, Jen?
Good.
Awesome.
Doing good. Sitting here sipping a cup of coffee.
Yes, it's coffee o'clock. That's for sure. It's always coffee o'clock. Though,
it
really.
Is.
It is. Yeah. So one of the things that we want to do on this podcast, not every episode, but sometimes just to cover current events and current happenings and things that are relevant for the time that we find ourselves in at the time of recording. And so, today we have a few different things we want to talk about. One is Halloween is coming up. So we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there is the Israel and Hamas war that's going on. And so we want to talk a little bit about that as well. And then give a little bit of an update on myself and my situation and injury and recovery and kind of talk a little bit about that as well. So with that, let's just dive right in and start talking about Halloween. Halloween is coming up here very soon. And for whenever Halloween comes up, it's always a big question for Christians, like how do we engage in that? Do we engage in that? Do we just go all in and let our kids just kind of do the whole shebang? Or do we go and pretend that we're not doing anything and just kind of hide out in the basement? Or what do we do with Halloween? So Jen, I'm going to turn it over to you for a second on this one, and then we'll just discuss back and forth. But really, just if you haven't listened to this podcast much before, I want you to know this is really kind of meant to let you in on some of our conversations that we have with each other. And so this is going to be just kind of conversational and dialogue today. So,
yep. You guys get to hear the inside track of how Nate and I will dive deep on some thoughts, and some thoughts just aren't that deep, to be honest. But Halloween is something that obviously we need to talk about every year, as we have three kids ranging from 14 down to 8. It's a topic that they'll bring up if we don't. So so every year we talk about it and just really consider and pray through and just be prayerful about what our family's going to do for Halloween. But before we get into that and some deep thoughts, Nate, what did you do? What was like your experience growing up as a kid?
It kind of ranged. I remember I actually got saved on Halloween. I was 7 years old, and my family, we were passing out candy. But we did it a little bit different. We passed out little bags of candy it was a bag and it had lots of candy in it, so the kids who came to our house were pretty stoked. But then it also had a tract in it, like a gospel tract that we gave out. And for me, I think we were doing this, and my parents kind of explained to me the reason we were doing this. And from what I remember, my response was, well, I want to put my faith in Jesus, like fully,
that's awesome.
You know, and put my trust in the Lord that day. So that was one end of the spectrum. Then later on, you know, as I grew up, we had varying different things. Sometimes we participated in trick or treating and things, and sometimes we didn't. It was just kind of, honestly, it might've just been a year by year thing for my family, my parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds a bit like our family, kind of year by year. I grew up funny, kind of in the same way. We were passing out trick or treat stuff at different houses before we even knew each other, but, grew up just handing out, little tracts or, I don't know, just little information pieces about the gospel and sharing the gospel with people who came to our door. That at this point, that feels very 1990s, I guess, because yeah, I totally. Know that if we, not that you can't do that now, but I do think that our culture would push back quite a bit harder against that in this day and age than they did back in the 90s. Back in the 90s, I remember, you know, sharing the gospel with kids who came to our front door, and the parents would listen intently. And they weren't, they'd even, you know, be nodding their head up and down like, yeah, tell them, you know, but I don't think that's where our culture is at right now. Not that if you do that, good for you. If God's calling you to it, go for it. But I think that for the most part, our culture has moved away from being open to those kind of discussions.
Yeah, particularly when it comes to things like tracks, I feel like I'm not saying that you shouldn't use tracts in passing. If you don't know what a tract is, it's a little pamphlet or booklet that details the gospel, and they have different, usually they're kind of cheesy with, you know, it's like the million dollar bill on, it looks like on the front and then on the back, it talks about Jesus. And I'm not completely against those, but I think that the day for those, they don't hit the same culturally now as they used to.
Yeah. And I think we as families are culturally different than we were then as well. So for our family, we do hand out candy on Halloween, most Halloweens. You know, this year's a little different because of Nate's injury, but last year we did something that I really enjoyed and I hope we get back to in years to come. And that is just being outside with our neighborhood community. Living in a small town, we know some or most of our neighbors. And we just went outside, did a little gas fire pit, served hot chocolate and apple cider, and tried to just make conversation and take a little bit of the darkness out of the night. You know, honestly, it's physically very dark on Halloween. And then, you know, just it feels very disjointed to have, you know, kids run around the neighborhood and not really getting to say hi and visit with them. So we just made it more of like a community thing in our neighborhood.
Yeah. Just kind of backpedaling just a little bit on this, because some people might be listening and they might either be a new believer or didn't grow up in the church and they're thinking, what's the big deal with Halloween? Why is this even a question that you're addressing? I think it's probably worth talking about what is Halloween and what is it? What is the concern with Halloween and what is, how should we be approaching Halloween? Most people think of Halloween as just kind of a spooky, fun day, right? And so it's kind of the time when kids go and dress up in costumes and get candy, right?
Yep.
And then you add spookiness to it and people put up spider web decorations and different things. And it's all things spooky is what Halloween is.
And I think most people mean that all in fun and lightheartedness.
Yes.
Is their intention.
Absolutely. So how did we get to Halloween is really probably the question that I think really is what needs to be addressed for us to really kind of know how we got there, what it is, and what our current involvement is. So Halloween really stems from it's actually a Christian holiday originally. And the Halloween is just the way that a word developed into a different word. Halloween is kind of a contraction of All Hallows Eve. And then the next day, November 1st, was All Hallows Day. Mm-hmm. Now Hallows, when you think of Hallows, it's like, it's a word that means saints is what it really means. And you think of like when we say the Lord's Prayer, and it's hallowed be your name, right? It's the same word, that kind of holy, set apart. And so November 1st was in the church calendar known as All Saints Day. It was a day of celebrating all of the saints that have gone before us, those who have honored the Lord with their lives, have lived holy lives, or God worked powerfully through. And All Saints Day was preceded by All Hallows Eve. So the night before was just a time of celebration leading up into All Saints Day. It was one of the feast days. We don't really think about that anymore. I don't even think that the Catholic Church really has like an All Saints Day feast like they might have done in the Middle Ages and in ages past. But that's really what it is. It also happens to fall on the same time as a pagan holiday called Samhain, which is actually spelled Samhain. It's kind of weird. It's not, I don't know how the pronunciation came about, but that was a Celtic festival, a pagan festival on October 31st. And so what ended up happening is over time, All Saints Day was November 1st. On October 31st became All Hallows Eve. And then people began to do different kind of traditions that in their superstitious minds kind of warded off evil spirits, right? So if All Saints Day wasn't November 1st, the night before was like, well, you wanted to keep away the evil spirits. And so they would put out things that they had carved into scary faces, jack-o'-lanterns, things like that, supposedly to scare off the evil spirits, right? So you can see where a superstitious culture could kind of run with that. And then people began to combine that with different elements of the Samhain holiday, that pagan holiday and other things. And then it kind of became known as a day to celebrate spookiness and spooky things, right? And kind of ultimately, interestingly enough, from having started as a Christian holiday, and even is actually the day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the door at Wittenberg. What we call the Reformation Day is also the same day as Halloween. Mm-hmm. It started as a Christian holiday, and now I would say that there's zero Christian association with what we call Halloween, right?
Yeah.
I think probably if anything, modern celebration of Halloween leans the opposite way. It's celebrating witches and witchcraft. It's celebrating death and darkness and the opposite of light. And so the problem that Christians have, and I think should have with Halloween, is the celebration of darkness and the celebration of things that are evil and wrong. So the Bible speaks very clearly about witchcraft, and it speaks very clearly about what our involvement with that should be. And that's nothing, right? It does not have nothing to do with spiritists or mediums or witchcraft. And so we don't even want to play around with those things or pretend like make light of them even, you know? I think that's one of the things that probably I would say that is bothersome about the Halloween holidays. It makes light of things that the Bible says are serious. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I feel like we as parents or even as just individuals, we take the opportunity or we are prone to take the opportunity of Halloween to celebrate and participate in recognition of things that every other day of the year we would say, nope, that's not, you know, witchcraft is not part of my life. It is not. But then costumes come out and our kids ask for certain things and they, you know, want to pick out the decorations from whatever their favorite store is to make our house spooky. And, you know, it's been challenging to stand firm as a parent and say, no, we don't celebrate death all of the other days of the year. We're not going to celebrate death on this day either. Now I have to say our youngest Josiah, who's now 8, has the most adorable little Simba Lion King costume from when he was like 4, and he still puts it on to this day.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we as Christians can also overdo our sensitivity. Mm-hmm. We do allow our kids to dress up in innocent costumes, not celebrating darkness, death, witchcraft, anything like that, but just simply the fun of dressing up. And I don't believe that that's wrong.
Right. Yeah. I think the way that I view Halloween personally is, well, I have a few different thoughts on it, but I think one, yes, like kids, is there anything inherently wrong with kids putting on costumes and going around and asking for candy? Absolutely not. Is there anything wrong with kids having fun, dressing up? And, you know, is there even anything wrong with kind of like thinking about spooky things when we're not talking about death and witchcraft and, you know, like really like nasty, you know, dark demonic stuff? I'd say like spiders and whatever. I mean, it's just, I get scared of spiders, right? Jen knows this. like there's nothing inherently wrong with that. What I think, when I think about this holiday, is it kind of makes me a little bit angry that it's something that got that started out really as a celebration of goodness and light and celebrating those who have given their life in service to the Lord. And then, and even celebrating the Reformation, and then it kind of got co-opted and turned into a day celebrating darkness. And so for me, I'm like, let's not, like, the question becomes, you know, do we hide out in the basement and just pretend like we don't, you know, none of this is real, so we don't actually celebrate it, or do we?
Well, this year we do.
This year we do. We might actually be doing that and having movie night this year, but that's not a statement or something. But, or do we do the other thing? And I guess my general philosophy is I would rather be a light in the darkness than yes. hide from the darkness.
Totally.
And so on Halloween, now, of course, I don't really believe that most of the kids that are running around are actually participating in darkness.
No.
Even if they're dressed in a witch's costume. You know, I don't think that they're like participating in evil, you know, but the holiday itself makes light of those things. And I would rather come into the dark and shine a light. And mm-hmm. so that's getting back to what we were saying before. That's what we've kind of had a heart to do as a family is if we're passing out candy or we're like we did last year, we put out a fire pit and we made apple cider. And we passed out apple cider to all the parents that walked by and all the kids that walked by. We actually went out to the curb of our street rather than up at the door and we're just present. We were there.
Yeah.
And people came by and talked to us and any, you know, just had conversations with people and the people in our neighborhood know who we are. They know I'm a pastor. They know, you know, we've had people come to us with different things before. And so it was just like, how can we be a light in the midst of what is being celebrated is darkness. And yeah. So,
and honestly, we didn't have any like, significant conversations with anyone. It wasn't, you know, game changer. Someone got saved on Halloween at our house.
Right.
But we were just part of our community. Nate's sitting here right now doing the podcast, wearing a Love Your Neighbor hat. And yeah. those small little things that, as believers, rather than being, kind of put off in the corner in our neighborhoods, because people are like, you know, they don't party like we do. So let's not invite them. Let's not talk to them. Rather than letting ourselves sit in that corner, we want to be part of our community and press in and say, we're here. Yeah. And we're not here to judge. We're here to be a light. And we're here for them on, you know, on any day that they might reach out to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what I think my philosophy in general is looking at the darkness that's around us. I think a lot of times for Christians, our gut reaction is to hide from it. And I think that really that if the light hides from the darkness, then what's going to shine, you know? And so our call really is to put our lamp on the stand, like Jesus talked about, not hiding it under a bushel, right? Not hiding who we are in Christ, but just being present and shining a light and saying, no, we don't participate in darkness. Nobody's going to come to our house and see a bunch of scary, you know, skeletons and gravestones in the front yard. They're going to see decorations that are fall decorations. We have some like cartoonish, cute scarecrows and pumpkins and,
yeah. You know, if you know the Morrises, you know that we like to decorate outside.
Yes.
So it is
fall,
decorated.
Winter. Yeah.
it's decorated. And cute little scarecrows. And
but we don't have witches and ghosts and all those things. Right. But people know that. And then they see us and we're there and we're part of the community. So that's kind of our spiel on the Halloween thing.
So to make the most clunky transition ever, speaking of evil mm-hmm. and speaking of, spiritual stuff, there's been a lot in the news lately about Hamas mm-hmm. and, Hamas is a terrorist group that is in the Middle East primarily. And, if you've been up on the news at all, you know that Hamas attacked Israel. How many days ago was it? Maybe 10 days ago?
By the time this is coming out, I'm not sure exactly, but yeah, it's been almost 2 weeks. And obviously, man, it was just that day that happened. It was all over the news and just so shocking. I don't think anybody hasn't heard at least a little bit about this, with 1,000+ people dying and people being taken captive and them brutally killing everyone, kids, babies, everything. Just truly evil, right?
And they do so. Hamas does so in the name of Allah, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think so. Ultimately they have a political goal as well, but it's definitely an Islamic, you know, jihad type organization that's designated as a terrorist group by many, many countries.
Yeah.
And Hamas currently runs everything in the Gaza Strip, which is they run the government, the schools, the everything. And the militant arm is what attacked, Israel. And I just wanted to kind of talk about this just for a little bit, because I think that this this issue, the Israel issue, is really polarizing in our country and around the world even. And just wanted to bring a little bit of context to it. And so you might be a new Christian. You might be wondering, okay, I get that Israel is kind of more of a Western style country. And so they're our allies. And so we should support them. And we see this brutality from Hamas, but then some people get confused because of some of the response seems overblown and some of the ways that the world describes Israel as treating the Palestinians can seem harsh and unfair as well. And so I just wanted to dig into this just a little bit. And first, obviously, this terrorist organization, Hamas, attacking people while they're at concerts and in their homes and truly doing horrific, evil, as you said before, things. They're full condemnation over that. And I hope that the Israeli military is able to really root out Hamas, and ultimately, you know, that will be what happens in this instance. I do think, though, that sometimes Christians and even politicians and people look at this and then say, well, okay, that happened, and so any response is justified completely. Mm-hmm. And I do think that Israel's response so far is justified, in terms of, you know, saying we're going to go in there, we're going to root out Hamas. I think that there is a justified response to that from a national level. But I think that sometimes we can say, well, we're on Team Israel, and so anything that Israel does must mm-hmm. be good. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
You know, it's hard. You know, I hear Gaza, I hear Israel, I hear Hamas, and I just hear people.
Yeah.
I just hear that they are people, and my heart breaks for them, no matter where they stand. I mean, I think mm-hmm. justice being served to Hamas, I think, is right, as hard as that is to say.
Yeah.
But I think of the people living in Gaza. They're yeah. not all members of Hamas. I would bet a large portion of them are not. They're just average folk. And they live in a very tough part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really hard. And I think this is important. And the reason I wanted to talk about this, I think this is really important for Christians to get, because I think exactly what you said is true. It's people. And what does God care about? God cares about people. Mm-hmm. I think God cares about people more than he cares about nations. And some in the church and in politics and in the world would elevate nations above people, but that's not the way that God puts it. Mm-hmm. And while we look at the end times and we look at eschatology, which is the study of the end times, and we see the nation of Israel existing, and we see that a lot of these pieces falling into place in our day, the fact that Israel became a nation again in 1948, there's a lot of prophecy that's being fulfilled, and we're seeing a lot of things take place. Which is exciting. And it's also like, okay, we're coming up on the end times. Maybe Jesus is going to come back soon, these types of things. But I think sometimes people can get so excited about that, that they begin to think of Israel as being an extension of the church, or Israel as being a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's actually what would be considered a closed nation by today's standards. And what I mean closed is it's actually closed to the gospel. It's illegal to share the gospel with a Jew in Israel.
Wow, I didn't know that.
You can be there and be a Christian. They want Christians there because Christians bring tourism to the Holy Land, but it's actually illegal. And many of the people that are in the West Bank and in Gaza, now I say many, not many, but there are a lot of Christians that are there that are Palestinian Christians.
Yeah.
And from missionaries that I've known that have served in Israel and then that area, these communities are treated really poorly.
The Palestinian communities?
Yeah, including the Palestinian Christian communities. It's not just an Islamic thing. And I don't say this to say, well, we shouldn't support Israel. I do support Israel. And I think even as a country, the United States should support Israel. Take aside the whole biblical thing. Mm-hmm. From a political standpoint, they are a democratic ally in the Middle East.
Right, like an anchor.
Yeah, we should have that there. We should support them. We should even be behind them in their effort to uproot Hamas. And but I do think that what we need to take a step back and not just blanketly say, well, Israel is good, everything else is bad. And so anything that Israel does is okay. And just say, you know what? This is a tricky, messy situation that involves a lot of people and people are made in God's image and people are those that God cares about. God cares as much about those Palestinians as he does about the Jews, both of whom are lost, by the way.
Right. That was the thing that was really on my heart the other day as I was thinking and just praying about this situation. It just kind of hit me that, you know, Israel is not a Christian nation.
Right.
And neither is the United States.
Nope.
But as a nation, they do not recognize Jesus as Messiah.
Right.
And I pray that through this trial and tragedy that they would come to know Christ. And I wish that they had not been attacked, and I hope that Hamas does get uprooted. But more than that, more than political victory, more than a wartime victory, I hope that there's a spiritual victory in Israel.
Yeah. And in Gaza and the West Bank. And yeah. And I guess that's really the reason that I thought it would be good to talk about this is as we're praying for what's going on over there, because for most of us Christians, that's all that we can really do in this situation is pray, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen people say, pray for the peace of Israel. I've seen people say, you know, pray for peace. That's absolutely good. We should be praying for peace. But I do think that it's important that we remember that just because Israel is a part of the end times, you know, prophecy, and God does have a place for the nation of Israel, that doesn't remove the fact that both all of those areas are full of people, most of whom don't know the Lord. And really our prayer should be not so much for political stability or even peace. We should pray for peace, but really our prayer should be for all of those image bearers of God who are in Gaza, who are in the West Bank, who are in Israel, who are in Syria, who are in Jordan, who are in Egypt, that do not know the Lord.
Right.
And they all need him, you know? And so that should be our focus really as we walk through this and really praying over the whole situation and praying over reduced loss of life all around and just all of it. So,
yeah. And I think for those that are just very good students of the word, we need to be looking at the word and taking it in context and understanding who the recipient was of the different prophecies and which ones are to come, which prophecies are unfulfilled, which prophecies have already been fulfilled, and just be good Bereans. We need to be in the word and understanding the heart of God, the heart of God that goes from Genesis through Revelation. And there's a lot of war in there. There's a lot of war.
Yeah.
But we need to know God's heart so that we can properly apply the scriptures.
Absolutely. I agree. All right. Just wrapping up, we'll be wrapping up here in just a couple minutes. Wanted to just give a little bit of an update on my current situation. As many of you know, I had a bike accident almost 3 months ago and broke my neck, broke my back, and was laid up for a very long time, still kind of laid up, but still very limited. But the healing process is going well. God just had his hand all over it. And I'm getting to the point where the bones are mostly healed, and now I'm having to do a lot of PT and stuff. That's actually, it's interesting because I had several weeks of not having too much pain, but now the pain's coming back because I'm moving things that haven't been moved for 2 months. Like my neck has been in the same, my head has been in the exact same position for months. And so now I'm moving my head and it has pain associated with it and ripple effects that go well beyond just my neck and head. So, you can keep praying for me for that, but things are doing well, getting better. Hopefully I'll be able to drive again here soon. Mm-hmm. And Jen will have a little bit of relief for all the carpooling and shuttling that she's doing for me and the kids. But overall doing well, and just wanted to say thank you again and again to all of you who gave us meals, gave us support, gave our kids rides. You guys have just been so awesome, and the prayers just have been felt and real, and so grateful for all of you. Too many to mention by name, but we're just thankful and grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have just lived literally on your generosity and your prayers. Just the other day, I was thinking, you know, we're quite a ways into this healing process for Nate, and was just kind of like, man, I miss the texts of praying for you today. And it was kind of funny because just as I was thinking that, like, three people texted me that day and just asked, how are you? Praying for you, checking in on you. It was just such a beautiful gift. And I think we've learned so much about how to receive that gift of love from the Christian community. And we've also turned that into learning about how to give that gift of love, because Nate and I are not the best at figuring out how to shower people with love, even when they're hurting. You know, we pray and we try to be creative, but it's just not our gift.
Yeah. Yeah. I think honestly, we're kind of people that like our space a little bit. We're introverts, and you know, I go to the hospital and I don't really want anybody to visit me. I don't want to see another person until I'm out, you know? That's not saying anything about those of you who did visit. Thank you. I really do appreciate the thought that you put in and that you came and did that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have visited me, but that's just kind of who I am. Right. Yeah. And so a lot of times I kind of default to that when I'm thinking about how I treat other people. Well, they don't really want us there.
You project.
Yes, exactly. So, I do think we learned a lot about how to care for people well and to love people well.
Yep.
And in ways that are a blessing to them. And a lot of it is just those little things, like little texts, like praying for you. Not necessarily asking for updates, you know, and like giving me the full scoop, but just kind of like praying for you. Let me know if there's anything I can do.
I just want to encourage those of you out there, just a very like applicable little nugget for those that are like Nate and I, that are like, man, when somebody's going through something, I'm going to pray for them because my heart is with them, but I'm not going to reach out and I don't know what to do. I just want to encourage you to press in, to extend yourself a little bit. I was thinking about how Nate's saying he hasn't turned his head in a little while. And so it hurts. It feels uncomfortable to stretch and extend when you haven't been. And I would just say, do it. If there's somebody that you're praying for, you're thinking of, go ahead and shoot them a text. I appreciated every single one of those, no matter how long it took me to reply. Questions were often very hard to answer. I think questions kind of obligate the recipient to answer. And so maybe not asking in-depth questions, but just a word of encouragement or a scripture. If you are praying a scripture over them, or if there's a scripture that's encouraging you that day, just share that one. God's given you that word to share with people in your life who might be hurting. So, so get in there and do it though. I would just say, don't hold back. Don't think that you're being a pain in the butt. You're not, you're a blessing.
Totally.
It was really meaningful for us.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of the people that just said, what do you need done around the house? Can I mow your lawn? You know, well, I guess you can, you know, can I clean your garage? Yeah. Those types of things. Just the little, like, just putting yourself out there. And a lot of times we said no to those things, but it was just a blessing to know that people were willing to put themselves out there like that and say that, here, whatever you need, I want to do it, you know?
Totally. The blessing of smiles. If you run into somebody who's going through a hard time, you don't have to dodge them. You also don't have to ask how they're doing. You can just smile and say, it is so good to see you. It's good.
Ask how they're doing. That's funny. I don't mind answering that question, but it is funny because I go to church and I see people and it's like, they look at you and it's like, I don't know if I want to ask how you're doing because I know 30 other people just asked you that. But I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't know what else to say. Like, you're wearing a neck brace and a body brace. It's like, how are you doing? You know what I would say is just a simple praying for you. Yeah. It's great. If you are praying for them, smile. If you're not praying for them, don't say that you are, don't lie, but like just a simple, like, I mean, I'm praying for you. So glad to see you. And then let them talk about something maybe other than their injury.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. But. And share where you're coming from. You know, part of the challenge of this time has been being isolated and, you know, everybody wants to know how Nate is or how I am or the kids. But we want to hear about how you guys are. And when somebody's going through a tragedy, they are so self-focused because they have to be. It is a joy and blessing to get to participate in other people's lives. So, just, you know, be comfortable in who you are and share what's going on in your life and how you can be the recipient of their prayers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today on this current events episode of the Truth and Love podcast. We're glad that you joined us. Tune in next time, and that's it for today.